Good morning and welcome, everyone. A warm welcome to anyone visiting us for the first time. Please join us for tea or coffee in the Mayor Hall afterwards. There are only a few other notices to say that, to remind you that Brenda Eye's funeral is on the 8th of June at Randall's Park at 12:30. The Open Gardens programme has been published, and there are 7 gardens to visit, and there are some information leaflets at the back of the church. The bank holiday walk tomorrow by Georgina, she's asking you to meet at 10:20 by the car park at Isabella Plantation. This is a 5-mile walk through the park and then along the river, ending up with lunch at the New Inn on Ham Common. Further details from Georgina. And then a final message from this Circle the City gang. For those of you who may have missed the globally syndicated news coverage, celebrity red carpet interviews, or the innumerable chat show appearances, this is just to say that Georgina, Peter, Vaughan and myself turned in a record-breaking performance last Sunday in the Circle the City walk. I would like to say a huge thank you to all who generously sponsored us, and with typically understated modesty, we are flaunting our medals. That's it. Thank you.
We joined together to worship God. When the night was over, morning came. When the spring was over, summer came. When Jesus left, the Spirit came. We gather, alleluia, 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 to hear the language of God's love. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We join to sing.
Thank you.
please have a seat. Now, could you please all put your rattles down? Because I know what you're like. And Sugin will lead us in prayer.
We pray for the confession and approachy and the Pentecost prayer. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us words of healing. Speak to us words of peace. Speak to us words of reconciliation. Speak to us words of love that we may speak out to others in your name. Amen. Prayer of confession. Forgive us, Lord, when we are afraid of diversity, when we stifle creativity, when we impose uniformity, when we suppress energy and joy. Forgive us and bring us, like those first disciples, from a place of hesitance to a place of hopes, from disappointment to delight, from caution to celebration. Amen. Prayer of Pentecost. Spirit of God, moving upon the water of chaos to bring order. Promise of Christ, making it possible to repent, to believe, and to know Christ in the heart. Wind of power and flame of light, turning coward into martyrs, the tongue tied into preachers, making disciples into the church. We bless you for your gift of order. You help us to think. You help us to pray. You convince us that history is in God's hands. We thank you for every time we have found ourselves wiser or braver or kinder than we could have been without you. And for each moment when Jesus, our Lord, came closer to us. We ask you to work in this church. Make us a community, a household in God's family. Teach us to love. Make us able to speak the word of God and do the will of God. In Christ's name. Amen. Let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
On the day of Pentecost, Peter spoke to the people, and people could understand what he was saying, even though they actually were people who spoke in a whole range of different languages. A special supernatural event, but one that we need to remember always. If I say to you, hello, I'm really glad to see you, what do you hear me say? Do you hear me say, hello, I'm really glad to see you? Or do you hear me say, she couldn't care less about me? When we speak, it's more than just the words. There's the volume, there's the tone, there's the expression. We communicate in words, but we communicate in a whole range of different ways. You walk up to somebody, you shake them by the hand, you slap them on the back, and you say, hello, I'm really glad to see you. And you know what they think? They're really glad to see me, and I need my shoulder sorted. But if somebody is, hello, I'm really glad to see you, you're not communicating. So my point is to you is to remember that a huge percentage of the way that we communicate is more than our words. And for us as a community, where a growing portion of our people, English isn't their first language, it is something that we need to remember, that we can communicate with one another in more ways than words. Now, if you've been around here a while, you will know where this is heading. This means I'm going to force you to communicate with one another in a way that is more than words. I would like you to wish one another God's peace. Hello, I'm really glad to see you. I would like you to get up and do some handshaking, back slapping, nose rubbing, whatever works for you. Make sure that by the time I drag you all back, come on, you can use me as an excuse. I'm happy as Larry. You can all slag me off. While you get up and you make sure that everybody in the room knows that on this day, we are glad that they are here. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1, let's go, 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 go. right, you see that? No, I will not go away, you cheeky man. What an outrageous thing. Go away. Honestly. Right, come on. I call this meeting to order. Andy, a warm greeting on behalf of... Pardon? A cup of coffee and we'll go home. A warm greeting on behalf of all of us to our brothers and sisters in Christ from John Bunyan Baptist Church who are with us today. Good to see you. God's Spirit is deep in my heart. We join to sing. So the short straw of the year fell to Hosanna Lee, who has to read the Acts 2, 1 to 21 passage, which is full of the range of countries that Peter spoke to. And Hosanna has made the confession this morning that she did YouTube it to get the pronunciation right. We love it. Somebody doing their homework. Good stuff.
The reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 21. The coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages, as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious people who had come from every country in the world. When they heard this noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited because each one of them heard the believers speaking in his or her own language. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, "These people who are talking like this are Galileans. How is it then that all of us hear them speaking in our own native languages? We are from Parthia, Media, and Elam, from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus and Asia, from Phrygia and Pamphylia, from Egypt and the regions of Libya near Cyrene. Some of us are from Rome, both Jews and Gentiles converted to Judaism, and some of us are from Crete and Arabia. Yet all of us hear them speaking in our own languages about the great thing that God has done." Amazed and confused, they kept asking each other, "What does this mean?" But others made fun of the believers, saying, "These people are drunk." Peter's message. Then Peter stood up with the other 11 apostles and in a loud voice began to speak to the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, listen to me and let me tell you what this means. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Instead, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. This is what I will do in the last days, God says. I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will have dreams. Yes, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will proclaim my message. I will perform miracles in the sky above and wonders on the earth below. There will be blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will turn red as blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And then whoever calls out to the Lord for help will be saved. Thanks be to God.
Amen. So in the book of Acts, the Spirit is spoken of in terms of fullness, but John gives us a sense that the Spirit is the one who fills out, adds to, completes the ministry of Jesus. The passage from John speaks of times of persecution, a warning, and the good news that the disciples are in a better place because Jesus has gone and the Spirit will come. This passage you read to us by David Tang.
Second reading is from John chapter 15, starting from verse 26. The helper will come, the Spirit who reveals the truth about God and who comes from the Father. I will send him to you from the Father, and he will speak about me. And you too will speak about me, because you have been with me from the very beginning. And then chapter 16, starting from verse 4. But I have told you this, so that when the time comes for them to do these things, you will remember that I told you. I did not tell you these things at the beginning, for I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me where I'm going. And now that I've told you, your hearts are full of sadness. But I'm telling you the truth. It is better for you that I go away, because if I do not go, the Helper will not come to you. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove to the people of the world that they are wrong about sin and about what is right and about God's judgment. They are wrong about sin because they do not believe in me. They are wrong about what is right because I'm going to the Father and you will not see me anymore. And they are wrong about judgment because the ruler of this world has already been judged. I have much more to tell you, but now it would be too much for you to bear. When, however, the Spirit comes who reveals the truth about God, he will lead you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak of what he hears and will tell you of things to come. He will give me glory because he will take what I say and tell it to you. And all that my Father has is mine. And that is why I said that the Spirit will take what I give him and tell it to you.
Sorry, hey John. Sorry. What happens when we live God's way? God brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, no needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Now, I don't know about you, but when I found that, I thought, yep, absolutely fantastic. What happened was I was working on the sermon, went away, came back, and this quote was in my notes, and I thought, where's that from? Where is it from? And I had to put it into Google to find where I'd found it from. And do you know where that was from? Galatians. But in the Message translation. Words that we're very, very familiar with. But the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. There is no law against such things. I'll read you that passage again. Last week, we were thinking about our distinctiveness as Christian people in our culture. How, as we swim in our culture, we do not see our culture. And we assume that what is Christian in our context is universally Christian. Whereas actually, quite a lot of it can be no more or less than culturally driven. So, what would it be like if you lived in God's ways? What will it look like if you developed holy living, if we developed holy living within us. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings fruit into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Message translation, Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. The danger of this day, which Tony reminded us, did you spot the music at the beginning of the service? Tony reminded us is the birthday of the church. If you're ignorant and stupid like me, you said to him, whose birthday is it? He said to you, me, the church's. I said to him, you're right. If the danger of Pentecost is that we view it in the same way that we view Easter and we view it with Christmas. A day to celebrate an event that happened once upon a time. So a day when we celebrate that Jesus was born, hooray. A time when Jesus was raised, hosanna. But if it is that we celebrate the fact that the Spirit is in the past, then we are in trouble. This is the day when we celebrate the fact that the Spirit is with us. This day, tomorrow, every day, the Spirit is with us. In our history, in this place, in the UK, around the world, the Spirit is with us. It is not confined to one place like the man Jesus was confined to one place. It is not outside of time and createdness like God the Creator is. This is God who is God in the middle of the universe, inside you, inside me, all around us. This is the Spirit. This is the bit of God that we know day by day. The Spirit is not some strange, freaky thing. The Spirit is that bit of God that we, as God's people, have caught a glimpse of and changes the people that we are slowly, day by day. The Holy Spirit is in us as we seek to develop Christ-likeness. The danger of sermons on a day like this is that we take the Spirit, we describe the Spirit, we analyze the Spirit, we take the Spirit to bits, we nail it down, and we get nowhere. So, for example, if we took love, one of the attributes of the Spirit, and I read you out the 14 points of the definitions of love. I'm going to read you two. A profound, tender, passionate affection for another person. Love is a feeling of warm personal attachment, a deep affection as a parent, child, friend. What about describing what it does? This thing called love. It's about late night vigils by hospital beds. It's about cars tucked round the corner picking up teenagers from nightclubs. It's about sick being mopped up and money being put into a common pot. It's about People keeping on going in relationship when Alzheimer's disease is long established. It's about people cleaning and cooking and repairing and gardening, all because of love. What it is one thing. What it does is transformational and amazing. What it leads people to is staggering. The spirit that infills and transforms everything. You can try and nail it down. You can try and describe it. If you are not careful, what you end up with is dead thing on a pin or a definition on a piece of paper. This isn't the place for that. This is the place for us to be encouraged to live it. Because through it, life has meaning. And the other thing that we need to remember is this potential for this Holy Spirit to be at work is not about some sort of super, uber, SAS type Christians who are the elite, the fighting force, the ones right at the front slaying dragons and rushing in. The Spirit is at work in all of us. Ordinary, boring, everyday, run-of-the-mill Christians like me and you. The Spirit is at work. How amazing is that? So the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, forbearance, goodness, self-control. These things are substantial, grown-up virtues. They are not the flash virtues that people tend to talk about when they talk about the Spirit. Not the eye-catching. They are, though, gorgeous. They are substantial. They are what matters. Too often when people speak of the Spirit, they are obsessing about the flashier, less important gifts: healing, speaking in tongues. And even in the early church, right at the beginning, they spotted that these gifts are not as important. So 1 Corinthians 12 goes through this list and then at the end says, best of all is the following way. And then it goes into 1 Corinthians 13, which is the best known, probably the best known bit of scripture. You could argue, could you not? 1 Corinthians 13, which is all about. 1 Corinthians 13, which is all about. Thank you very much. So the Spirit comes, and as a message is heard that is above all barriers of language. And people from all over the world recognize that something is going on, and they hear Peter speak in their first language. And we know that worshiping God in your first language is very important. That's why we've invested in this translation machine and the earpieces that go with it, because we want people to be able to hear God in their first language. But it is a work of love that paid for it, and it is a work of love that spends 5 hours translating it. The kit is one thing. The motivation for the kit is much more important. The work of translating and the faithfulness of that is the work of the Spirit. So the question for each of us: how much are we exhibiting these fruits in our lives? When people look at us, are they thinking of somebody trying to live a life shaped by holiness? A life that is about love, about sticking with things, about compassion, about being exuberant about life? Affection for others? Would they look at us and think there was something different about the way that we relate to others? The Spirit is our standard. The forgiveness of God is our hope. And just as a wee aside, imagine in terms of mission what it would mean in the town of Kingston if people heard that there was a community of people who related to each other in such a way. And that is the call of each of us. The resourcing, the energy, is of the Spirit. So let us be still, and then we will pray. Spirit of God, speak to us in a language that we can embrace. A language that our minds can understand. In the language of silence that sinks deep into our souls. Spirit of God, speak to us words of transformation. Words that empower. Words of love, of mercy, of grace. Thank you. Amen. So we join together to sing Gracious Spirit, Holy Ghost. Have a seat. Some of you will remember Emily Young, who used to be our youth worker. You may have heard, if you've kept up with Emily, that a year ago in October, her colleague suddenly died at Sunday morning service. Hideous. This morning, I received a text from her to say that last Saturday, another colleague in her circuit, who has only been there 2 years, also suddenly died. So Emily has asked that we would, in our prayers of intercession, which Sugin will lead us in a moment, that we remember that community for two deaths in such a way, truly shocking, truly shocking.
Let us keep silent for a moment to remember our friends. Prayers of intercession. God of wind and dove and fire, speak freedom, peace and change over land divided by war and by creed. Speak refreshment, assurance, and warmth over leaves afflicted by exhaustion and illness. Speak integrity, humility, and challenge over churches crippled by fear and finances. Speak calm, gentleness and comfort over lives broken by grief and loss. Speak power, anointing and healing over each one of us, that this Pentecost may be a new beginning and a catalyst for change. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. From the earliest times, God's people have made their offerings and brought their gifts. We, in that tradition, bring our offerings now. Let us pray. We celebrate the riches that you have poured out upon us, the money that we offer is not a fee by which we buy your attention, but a response to your love for us. Lord our God, may we give freely, and may this money be used for the work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you know that this afternoon is National, if you phone your minister, you're in big trouble day. You know that, don't you? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, ask Gordon or ask Ray, and we'll tell you all about our hideous life. Next, final hymn, you might not think you know it, but you do know the tune. We join to sing.
Thank you.
of Pentecost empower us. May it help us to find our voice. May it open our hearts to live and to share God's love. And may the Spirit draw us closer to God through Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.